Kreishir Mesechta Menachos Daf Chavav, and we were going to Daf Chavav Amar Aleph at the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. We have already previously learned in our Shiurim in Mesechta Zvachim the Machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua in Ein Basar Ein Dam. Yeshua's opinion is that if there is no Basar left for which to do the burning of the Emrim, Ein Dam, then there should be no Zrikas Dam done. And even though, as the Rishonim point out, and we have learned many times, the halacha is that even if the carbon is brought and the Emrim are lost, the carbon is still a valid carbon, that point out the Mefarshim is not relevant to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. According to Rabbi Yeshua, there is still a need for there to be Basar when the Zrikas Dam. Otherwise, one should not do Zrikas Dam. And as the Mefarshim explain, the basis for Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is because the Torah says, "Vasisa oila secha habos v'hadam al mizbach Hashem alkecha." And there's an inherent difficulty with that pasuk, because as we know, the Zrikas Hadam takes place before the Basar is put on the mizbeach. Yet this pasuk says, "Vasisa oila secha habosar v'adam." Why is the Basar mentioned before the Dam? Says Rabbi Yeshua to teach us that if there is no Basar, the Dam may not be put on the Mizbeach. The Mefarshim debate why is that the Halacha, and there are two explanations given. One is, because the Zrikas Hadam serves as a matir. Because the Zrikas Hadam, we could do the Haktaris of the Emrim of the Basar. But if there is no Basar available, then the Zrikas Hadam isn't a matter, it has nothing to be matter, and therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, the Zrikas Hadam should not take place. Another way of understanding, say the Mefarshim, in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, is because if all of the Basar is missing, we're referring to a carbon that's a carbon chaseira. It's a missing carbon. It's missing an inherent and a very important part of the carbon, and that is the Basar. And with such a carbon, for such a carbon, Zrikas Hadam should not be done. What is the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Explained the Mefarshim. What would be the halacha if, although, as we said, the haktara of the Basar should really take place after the Zrikas Hadam? What would be the halacha if the haktara took place before the Zrikas Hadam? If we say that the concern is that the Zrika must be a matir, so here, if the Haktaras Basar, the Haktaras Emrim took place before the Zrikas Hadam, so this Zrika is not a matir, and therefore it should not happen, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Whereas, if the concern is that it's a missing carbon, here it wouldn't be considered a missing carbon, it's just a carbon that was done in the wrong order. Rabbi Lezer, as we have learned, disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that in Basar, even if there is no Basar, Yesh Dam, we could still do the Zrikas Hadam. And the basis for Rabbi Lezer's opinion also is in that Pasuk. Because the Pasuk that we just read concludes, V'dam Zvachecho Yishofech, to teach us, V'dam Zvachecho, no matter what, you should do, if you have Dam, do the Zrikas Hadam. Begins the Mishnah, Nit Mishriyahu. We speak about a Karim Mincha, and if the Shirayim of the Karim Mincha became Tamei, or Nisuf HaShirayim, they got burned, of the Shirayim, they were lost. Kmitas Rabbi Lezer, according to Rabbi Lezer, we still can do that Taras Ksheira, we can still do that Taras Kaimitz. We know, as we said at the beginning of our Masecht already, the Taras Kaimitz is the corresponding Avoida to the Zrikas Hadam, and just like Rabbi Lezer holds Zrikas Hadam can take place even if there is no Basar, so too does Rabbi Lezer hold Zrikas, the Taras Kaimitz could take place even though there are no Shirayim. Whereas Kmitas Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it would be possible one cannot do that Taras Kaimitz if there are no Shirayim. Of course, the Mefarshim point out that we learned on that Tes Amud Aleph, a Machlokes of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, that what would happen if the Shirayim were depleted between the Kmitza and the Akhtara, Reish Lakish's opinion is that we may not do the Aktaras Koimitz. Reb Yochanan holds that you may do the Aktaras Koimitz. So obviously our entire discussion is only according to Reb Yochanan, because according to Reish Lakish, you can't do the Aktaras Koimitz if some of the Aktaras is missing. Our discussion is strictly according to Reb Yochanan. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that our Mishnah uses a wording that we don't necessarily normally find. Our Mishnah uses the words Kamidas Reb Elazar Ksheira, Kamidas Reb Yeshua Psula. Usually a Mishnah says, Elazar I'm a Kasher, Reb Yeshua I'm a Pasul. What's Pshat Kamidas? So I saw a number of Pshat. One Pshat is that actually the Machlokes, as we said at the beginning of our Shir, the Machlokes between Reb Elazar and Yeshua is really stated regarding Kabbonis. What happened is that the Tanna of our Mishnah extrapolates and says that after we've learned the opinion of Reb Elazar, and after we've learned the opinion of Reb Yeshua, we can now apply it to our case that they will hold, this will be their respective opinion by Karban Mincha. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw, and as the Gemara will point it out, it seems that it's certainly the opinion of Reb Yeshua that the tzitz is meratzah, the subject that we discussed extensively in our previous year. And the way to understand, therefore, the Mishnah is to say that Reb Yeshua is teaching us that only lechatchila is the halacha, that if the dam, that if the shirayim become tamei, should they not be brought, should the koimitz not be brought. But b'di'evet, we could rely on the Ritzui Tzitz, that the Ritzui Tzitz will be effective to allow the Koimitz to be burnt, even if all of the shrine became Tamei. That's one way the Mefarshim explained the word Kamidas. Another way is actually just the opposite. That even though it is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that we rely on Ritzui Tzitz, and therefore even if the shrine were to become Tamei, the halacha should be that you should be allowed to bring the carbon on the koimitz on the mizbeach, teaches us the Mishnah, it's kamidas. Our Mishnah is not, the opinion stated in our Mishnah is not exactly Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, that relies on Ritzui Tzitz, the halacha would be that you could bring the carbon on the mizbeach even if all of the shrine became tamei, because you could rely on the Ritzui Tzitz. Whereas our Mishnah says it may not be brought. Begins the Gemara, Amar Rav, V'hu Shinat Mekol Shirav. When our Mishnah says that Rav Shua holds that if the Shirayim become Tamei, they may not be brought in the Mizbeach, it's only if all of the Shirayim become Tamei. Abba Mitzvah Shirav, if only some of the Shirayim become Tamei, Loi, even Rav Yeshua will agree that the Akhtara may take place. Says the Gemara, Kosal Kedaitach, they assumed that since Rav specifically spoke about Nitma, only about the case of Nitma, that this is the halacha Nitma in. Only by Nitma does Rav say this point. Abel, Ovid Vesarif, in the case where it was lost or burnt, Loi, Rav will not say this in explaining Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. As the Gemara, let's try to understand, because since Rav only spoke about Nitma, it seems to the Gemara that that's the only time Rav will make this distinction. As the Gemara, why? Micah Sover, what is the basis of Rav's opinion? Ika Sover Shura Milsahi, if he holds that as long as something is left over, that's enough to be able to, some of the Shirayim are left over, we could go ahead with doing the Haktaras Koimitz, then the halacha ought to be so, I feel Ovid Besarif Nami, even if they got lost or burnt. And if, on the other hand, Rav holds or Bishua holds, Ika Sover Shura La Milsahi, that just because some of it is left over, it's not good enough. So then, v'nitma maitama, why are we saying that if it became tamei, it still could be brought? Because Rabbi Yeshua is obviously relying on Ritzui Tzitz, then I feel yach kosher anami. So why is Rav saying Rabbi Yeshua needs that only some of the shirayim became tamei, even if all of the shirayim become tamei, we should be able to do our Torah's comments if we're relying on the Ritzui Tzitz? Answers the Gemara Lion Kosover, Rav is of the opinion, Shura Milsahi. As long as there's something that was left in good shape, we can continue doing that Torah's comments, and don't understand that Rav is speaking strictly regarding Nitma, but rather the Nitma of who are din of Ovid V'Sarif. The same din will be by Ovid V'Sarif. So, if so, why did Rav only speak about Nitma? The Haidah Kama Nitma. The reason Rav only spoke about Nitma, because Reshi, it's the first case that was mentioned in the Mishnah. But it's not limited to the case of Nitma. The halacha would be the same by Ovid V'Sarif. However, point out the Mefarshim, that even though our Gemara is teaching us now that the halacha of Nitma and Ovid and Sarif are all the same, they're not really exactly all the same. They are the same regarding the Haktorah of the Koyments. And the din by all of them is, as long as some of it is left over, you're allowed to do the Haktorah of the Koyments. But it's not really the same. Because everybody we learned early in our Masechta is of the opinion that if some of the Shirayim were Nechsa, were depleted, prior to the Koyments, those Shirayim may not be eaten. So therefore, if Nitma or Ovid, and even though it was only partially Nitma or Ovid, the opinion is that we're allowed to go ahead with the Akhtar of the Koimitz, we will not be allowed to eat those shrine. Whereas by Nitma, it was partially Nitma, the Halacha, as we've been saying, is according to Rabbi Yeshua that there's Ritzit Tzitz. So the Ritzit Tzitz creates a situation as if it's completely here, and if it's completely here, the Shrayim, at least the Shrayim that are not Tameh, will be allowed to be eaten. Titania, and indeed, says the Gemara, we have a basis to have a distinction according to Rabbi Yeshua, if some is left or none is left. The Yeshua Aymer, Kol HaZvach Shvetayra, Shneshtayim Hem Kezayis Bas or Kezayis Chelev, as long as the Kezayis Bas or Kezayis Chelev is left over, Dalach is Zayir Kesedam, Rabbi Yeshua will agree that Zayir Kesedam can take place. However, if it's a Kechatzi Zayis Bas or Kechatzi Zayis Chelev, they do not combine, and ain't a Zayrik Sadam. However, Uba Oila, I feel Kachatzi Zayis Bas or Kachatzi Zayis Chelev, a half of Kachatzi Zayis Bas and a half of Kachatzi Zayis Chelev do combine the contribution to allow Zayrik Sadam. Neshikula Kolo, unlike all other Kabbalists that are not completely burnt, and therefore you cannot combine the Basr and the Chelev, here you can combine the Basr and the Chelev. Uba Mincha, regarding a carbon mincha, the halacha will be, I feel a kula kayemis, even if it's entirely here, by Yizuk Saddam. Ask the Gemara, what is the price of min? Mincha mayavadate, how does mincha come in here? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, what it means is michas nesachim. Salkatat, we know that all kabonis, a michas nesachim had to be brought along. Salkatat chamina, so we would think, hoyo bahadi zevakasya, since the michas nesachim comes along with the carbon, so it could be considered kigufi the zivcha damya. And if you have the mechas nesachim remaining, that should be good enough to be allow the zrika to take place. Kamash malon. So from here, we see, even if some chelav exists, we could go ahead with the zrika sadam. Menani mili, am Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shmuel, umat ba Meshum Rabbi Shua beKananya, am a kro vehitter a chelav reich nicharef v'Hashem chelav. As long as there's chaylev, alpha pishayim basar, and there is no basar left, we could still go ahead with the Zrika Saddam. Continues the Gemara, Vaskus chaylev, Sarah we found is the halacha regarding the chaylev, Yusaris v'shtei kloyos, that the diaphragm and the kidneys, which are the amrim, how do we know that too is the halacha, as long as you have some amrim left over, we could go ahead with the Zrika Saddam? Answers the Gemara, the tani, because we just learned, Ube mincha, Afilu kula kayemis, even if the entire michas nesachim is intact, la yizrik, that doesn't give you a right to do the zrik sadam. So the Gemara makes the following deed. Mincha, it's only the minchas nesachim that's left over is the halacha de la yizrik, that you may not go ahead with the zrik sadam. But if the shteris and the clay klayus are left over, the yizrik, you can go ahead with the zrik sadam. Manoah, from where do we know this? Answers the Gemara of Yochanan the day Omar Lareich Nechayach. Since the Torah uses the words Lareich Nechayach, we learn from it Kol Shatamalo Lareich Nechayach. Anything that's left over that is brought on the Mizbeach to be burned to bring a Reich Nechayach to Hashem is a good enough leftover to be able to go ahead with the Zrika Saddam. Says the Gemara, Hitzrich l'michtav chaylev. The Torah had to teach us this halacha regarding the word chaylev. Hitzrich l'michtav l'reich nechoach. And so too did the Torah have to say it regarding the reich nechoach. And the Gemara explains itself. Because of chaylev, if the Torah had only said chaylev, have a mina, chaylevin. If there's chaylev left over, then we could go ahead with the zrikas adam. But for yisaras v'shtei klayus, loy. That it, they aren't enough of a remainder for which we may go ahead with the Zrik Sadam. That's why Kosv Rachmona Reich Nechoyach, that just for them alone, you could go ahead with the Zrik Sadam. Because of Reich Nechoyach, have a mina fil mincha. So the mincha also, maybe the mincha's nesachim being left over should also be enough of a reason to be able to go ahead with the Zrik Sadam. Kosv Rachmona Chelev, it has to be a piece of meat. It can't just be the mincha's nesachim. Says the Mishnah, we've learned that the proper procedure for bringing a Karban Mincha is we start with a Kli Sharis, from which the Kaimitz is removed, and then the Kaimitz is put into another Kli Sharis. Says the Mishnah, Shlo Kli Kli Sharis, if it wasn't put into that Kli Sharis, Pasul. Rav Shimon Machshon. Machloikis Achroinim, the Brisk Rav and the Sfas Emes. What will be according to the Mishnah, the opinion of Rav Shimon regarding the first Kli Sharis? The Brisk Rav says that even Rav Shimon, who takes this lenient opinion in our Mishnah, will agree that the ingredients of the Karban Mincha must be put into Kli Sharis. He's only speaking about further putting into the Kli Sharis, but putting it originally into the Kli Sharis will be necessary. Sfas Emes disagrees. Sfas Emes says, according to Rav Shimon, even the putting the Kli Sharis in the first place would not necessarily be necessary. Teaches us the Mishnah further. Hikdir Kamtzer Pamayim. If the kindness was divided and burnt into separate pieces, Sheiritz Kasha. And the Gemara will explain this halacha in Mitzvah Shem soon when we learn the Gemara. The Gemara begins with three different explanations or three different interpretations of the opinion of Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Bereg Rav Chiya, my time of Rav Shimon, what is the basis of Rav Shimon? Says the Gemara, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says regarding the Karban Mincha, Kodesh Kedoshim Hi Kechatos Ukaoshim. Teaches us Rabbi Yehuda in according to Rabbi Shimon, Dala of the Biyad. If somebody comes to do the avoid of the Karban Mincha with his hand, of the Bimin Kechatos. We know that it is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that only where the Torah uses the word Etzba must the right hand be used. So by the Karban Chatos, the Torah uses the word Etzba. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to process the Karban Mincha with your hand, not in a keli, you have to use the right hand like by a Karban Chatos, the Kli, but if you're going to put it into a Kli of the Besmol Ka'oshin, you could even do it in the left hand. Rav Yanai disagrees. Rav Yanai Amar, Kivin Shekam Tzav Kli Sharis, once you start off with a Kli Sharis, Malei Mater V'afil Behemnayu, you could even put it into the sash that the Kohen wore around his Begodim, Vafil Makidus Acheres, he can even put it into a earthenware vessel. So as the Brisk Rav explains the Machloikis between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yehuda, he says as follows. The way to understand the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there are two categories of Avoida. There's a category of Avoida called Avoida Bekeli. And there's a category of avoda called avoda biyad. And each one of these categories of avoda have their own rules. Avoda bekeli has a rule that you can do it with whatever hand you so choose. But if you're going to follow and do the avoda with the avoda biyad type of avoda, with that category, it comes with its own halachas. And those halachas are that the right hand must be used. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yanai is that Rabbi Shimon holds that when it comes to the avoid of a mincha, it's not that the Torah is giving us an option. You could follow the avoid of a keli for category. You could follow the avoid of a yad procedure. The Torah is telling us there is no procedure. Whatever you want to do is acceptable. And that's why the Brisk Rav says the wording of Rabbi Yanai is so precise. Why does Rabbi Yanai speak about carrying the mincha in your sash, carrying it in an earthenware keli. What's he trying to teach us? What he's trying to teach us is precisely what we just said. It doesn't make a difference how you carry it. It's not considered, according to Rav Shimon, bechlal and avoida, how you carry it. And therefore, you could carry it in any type, in any way you want. But ask the Mefarshim, ask the Rishonim, that we know the halacha is that you're not allowed to do an avoida in a kli cheres. A kli cheres is not considered a proper type of keli with which to do the avoida. So how could Rav Yanai say that you could even put it into kli cheres? But again, according to the way we're understanding, it's very understandable. Where is there a halacha that a kli cheres is not acceptable? Where the Torah requires a keli? Where the Torah requires a keli, the halacha is that it has to be a chashuv keli. And a kli cheres is certainly not a chashuv keli. But the whole point of Rav Yanai is that a keli is not required, there are no requirements on how this kavod mincha should now be processed. And therefore, the kli cheres is fine. Furthermore, again, following this line of reasoning, explains the Brisker Rav in the name of his father, Rav Chaim, we could understand why it's permissible to transport the Kaimitz Behem Nayoi in his sash. Isn't there a problem by carrying it that way of a chatzitza? We learned many times that the starting in the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, that there's a concern of a chatzitza. So how is this permissible to carry the Manayo? But the way we're explaining, that's precisely what Rav Yanai is teaching us, that there is no din, and there are no requirements, according to Rav Shimon, on how it should be brought. So you can even do it with a chatzitza. Chazanish takes a different approach. He isn't so satisfied to accept that a chatzitza should be permissible. And therefore, the Chazanish's approach in understanding the Gemara is that there's two ways of understanding the issue of a chatzitza when somebody's carrying something. He says, of course, if somebody's wearing a glove and he carries something, that would certainly be a chatzitza. But says the Chazon Ish, if somebody's carrying something and he just puts something around the pan or the pap that you're carrying in order that your hand shouldn't get burnt, that, he says, is not considered a chatzitza, and that's what is being referred to here. Now the Gemara gives a third opinion, a third interpretation of Rav Shimon's opinion. Rav Nachman, b'yitzchak amar hakol oidim b'kaimit shetan kiddush. According to this, everybody agrees that the korban mincha, after the kamitza is done, has to be put into klisharis. The machloikis, according to Rav Nachman, between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon, is after it's put into that kli sharis and it's brought to the mizbeach, does it have to remain in a kli sharis? That is the opinion of the Rabbanan, whereas according to Rav Shimon, it does not have to remain in the kli sharis. So first the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation. Meisrei, it says in a braisa, hek de chalovim ve'vorim ve'etzim, the burning of the chalovim ve'vorim and the etzim, shehalon, bein biyad, bein bekeli, that were brought up to mizbeach, whether in the hand or in the keli, maybe a man named the small, whether it was done in the right hand or the left hand. Now, what is the ksherim? That it's kosher. Hakoymitz vaktaris ovoino, that's what's relevant to our shir, shehelam bein biyad bein bekeli. Whether it was done bein biyad bein bekeli, maybe a man named the small, whether it's the right hand, whether it's the left hand, ksherim. So here it says that if you're carrying it in your hand, whether it's in the right hand or it's in the left hand, it's still kosher. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta Rav Chiya Berei de Rav Chiya, isn't this clearly a refutation of his opinion? Because he held that if you're carrying it in the hand, it has to be strictly in the right hand. Amalach Rav Yehuda Berei de Rav Chiya. This is the way the Braisa has to be understood. Lutzdadun Ktani. The Braisa is teaching us two separate rules. Biyad, if you're carrying it with your hand, Dawach is, you have to carry it Yamin with your right hand. If you're going to carry it Bekeli, then you can carry whatever hand you remember small. Machloikus ham achroinim, the first halacha of hekta chalovim ve'ivorim ve'etzim, is that halacha also only going according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, or in that halacha even the Rabbanon would agree to the opinion of Rav Shimon that this is not considered an avoida and it could be done with the hand or with a keli, the right or the left. So now the Gemara asks a question on the opinion of Rav Nachman. Tashma, Kamsa Shlomi Kli Sharis, if the Kayin performed Kmitza without a Kli Sharis, the Kitcha Shlomi Kli Sharis, or he didn't put it into Kli Sharis, the hell of it, Tira Shlomi Kli Sharis, and it was brought up in Mizbeach without a Kli Sharis, the opinion of Tanakam is that it's possible. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Machshir, and Machin Keli. As long as it started off with a Keli, and it would be Machin Keli, any Keli, even not a Kli Sharis. So here we clearly see that it is the opinion of Rav Shimon that a Kli Sharis is not required. According to Rav Nachman's understanding of Rav Shimon, a Kli Sharis would be required, at least at the outset. Ema, says Rav Nachman, the way to understand this brisa is Machin Keli Deilu. Not that he says that a Kli Sharis completely ignored. After it was put in a Kli Sharis, afterwards, according to Rav Shimon, you don't have to continue in a Kli Sharis. But certainly at one point, it has to be in a Kli Sharis. So Tashma, the Gemara asks another question on Rav Nachman's interpretation. V'chamay, Tashma, the Brisa says, V'chamay min koymetz ton Kli Sharis. Ketzer, koymetzer me Kli Sharis. You have to take the kmitza out of Kli Sharis, or mekacha the Kli Sharis, and then put the koymetz into Kli Sharis. Umala, umaleu, umatira the Kli Sharis. And so should it be brought in a Kli Sharis up to the Mizbeach. Rav Shimon Omer, however, continues the Braisa, Rav Shimon's opinion is, Kivin should come from the Kli Sharis, as long as you started off with a Kli Sharis, Ma'al Matira Shleib Kli Sharis. So from here we see that it doesn't require Kiddush in the Kli Sharis. It says, as long as you started with a Kli Sharis, even though there was no Kiddush in Kli Sharis, it'll be fine. So Rav Nachman says, however, that according to Shimon, the Kiddush, putting the Kaimus into the Kli Sharis, is required. And says the Gemara, Ema, the way Rav Nachman will interpret this Braisa, again, the Braisa is saying, Kivush Akimtsa of the Kitchen of Kli Sharis, once you put it into, you did the Kamitsa, and you put that Kaimus into the Kli Sharis, the Loch is Ma'ala Matir Vidaya, you can take it up any way you want. Tashma. So the Gemara again tries to ask Rav Nachman's opinion. The Braisa says, Kamitz Bimina, if the kmitza was done with the right hand, for nasan l'smoiloi, and then he put it into the left hand, the halacha is yachsulim minoi. He should put it back into his right hand. The smoiloi, and it's an interesting point that the Chazon Ish makes. The Chazon Ish says that even though we've learned that, and we're going to learn, that the kmitza could be done either with the right hand or with the left hand, says the Chazon Ish, that's either with the right hand with it, if you're using your hand, or you could use the left hand if you're going to be using a keli. Says the Chazon Ish, that is only at the beginning. A person has a right to choose. He's going to use his hand, he has to use the right hand. He's going to use a keli, he could use either hand. But says the Chazon Ish, this individual has shown that he wants to use his hand because he put it into his left hand. So, and as we are now going to see, putting it into the left hand is unacceptable. He no longer has the option to choose of putting it into a keli, and then once it's in a keli, it can even be carried in the left hand. Rather, says the Chazon Ish, he will, and the Braisa seems to bear this out, he has only one option, carrying it and carrying it in the right hand. The smaller, if it was left in the left hand, and while the koymetz is in the left hand, he has the improper machshava. He had the machshava chutz mekoymai, or chutz l'zmanai, Hustle, vain by Karis. Why is it no Chiyuv Karis? As Rashi explains, a Chiyuv Karis, for the carbon to be considered full-fledged pigul, it has to be a situation where the avoida is a kashura avoida. This is not a kashura avoida, and therefore, a machshava during such a type of situation cannot create pigul. Biminoi, if you put it into the right hand, so now he's doing the avoida properly. So if he has machshavas chutz mekaymoi, it's possible the ain by karis. If he has machshavas chutz l'zmanoi, it's pigol v'chayovin alav karis. Divrei Rav Elazar Rav Shimon v'chamaymen kimin shenosan small. As soon as he put it into the small, it remains possible matana, so it becomes completely disqualified and it cannot be considered a valid carbon under any circumstances. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the basis of the Chachamim's opinion? And actually, in this case, the Chachamim are actually more lenient than Rav Shimon, because according to Rav Shimon, this carbon can become pigel. According to Chachamim, it can never become pigel. What is the basis of their opinion? Mishum the boy kedusha b'keil, because according to the Rabbanon, the kaimitz has to be put into a keil. The kaimitz, that is absolutely necessary. The kaimitz should not smoke. If instead of putting the kaimitz into klisharis, it was put into the left hand, nasna kedam shenishmak mitzav behema la retzba, it falls into the category as if the blood came out of the neck of the animal and fell to the floor of the Azara, the Asfish Apostle. We learned the Masech Tzvachim in the following halacha. The halacha is that the dam of a carbon has to come out from the neck of the animal on into the Kli Sharis. If it didn't come out to the neck, but rather it spilled onto the floor, that dam, we learned, becomes completely disqualified. And even if it's scooped up from the floor afterwards, the halacha is that that carbon cannot become kosher with that dam. We learned if there's still dam left in the neck of the animal, that dam could be used. However, if the dam was in a klisharis, and then afterwards in the klisharis, it fell on the floor, then the halacha is that that dam could be picked up from the floor to do zrikas adam with. Teaches us our Gemara that according to Rabbanan, given that the Rabbanan hold that the left hand is completely disqualified, the halacha will be that the left hand regarding the kaimitz is similar to the floor of the with the dam of a regular carbon. And just like the dam of a regular carbon that falls on the floor creates that dam should be permanently disqualified, so too, if the kaimitz was put into the left hand of the kayin, it becomes permanently disqualified. Mechlal, but obviously, Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, who disagree with Rabbanan, are of the opinion that Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, like by Matan Kaili, and therefore, even if it was put into the wrong hand, it doesn't become permanently disqualified. Says the Gemara, this clearly is refutation to Yufta the Rav Yah, to Yufta the Rav Nachman to Yufta. This clearly is refutation of Rav Nachman opinion, where Rav Nachman holds that it is fine even if it's in the left hand. When even according to Rav Shimon, it has to be first put into klisharis. Here it says it doesn't have to be put into klisharis. The Mefarshim point out that wherever we have in the Gemara the word tiyufta, and it's not just it's refuting the opinion of one individual, that is certainly considered a full-fledged refutation, that there is no way to reconcile that opinion. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, Masailei. This brisa clearly is a proof to Rabbi Chiya's opinion, to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, because the brisa clearly says that it could be done when it's done with the hand, it has to be done strictly with the right hand. And that's why it said it was put into the left hand, it has to be put afterwards into the right hand. Rav Yanai, but as Rav Yanai, and we explained Rav Yanai's opinion earlier this year, that Rav Yanai holds that any hand, any mode of transportation is acceptable. Lema tehevet yufta, is this Bryce a refutation of his opinion? Amlak Rav Yanai, another Amri Kitana the Hector. We, at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, the Gemara quoted the opinion of quoted a brisa, where the brisa said that if you're doing it with the hand, you could do it bein biyad, bein biyamin, bein b'smal. You could use the right hand or the left hand, which was clearly a question on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So the Gemara explained that the way Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain that brisa is letzdavim, to look at that brisa as if it's teaching us two rules. Clearly, that's not the poshta pshat of the brisa. And says Rav Yanai, I'm going to learn the brisa, the simple way of understanding the brisa, loy letzdavim tani. I'm going to take the brisa as it said simply, that the brisa is teaching us that you could take it in the right hand or the left hand, and therefore that brisa, even though the brisa that we just learned indeed does not follow his opinion, that brisa will clearly be a support to his opinion, and that's the way he will learn is the halacha. We learned in the Mishnah, hikta kontzer pamayim, If the chametz was burned twice, it's kshela. Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi, pamayim. When the Mishnah says that it could be burnt even if it was divided, it's pamayim only if it was divided into two. The word kamei pamayim and not anymore. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says pamayim vafilo kamei pamayim that can be divided into many pieces. Ask the Gemara my benai, what is the basis of this machlokes? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, yesh chametz poichas mishnei kazeisim. Could there be less than two kazeisim in a chametz? Yesh haktara pchus mekazeis. And can you do a haktara on a size? Is a haktara on the size of something less than a kazeis a valid haktara? Eka benai will be the nafgumina. Rav Shua ben Levi sava. Rav Shua ben Levi holds that ain't kaimitz pots mishnei zaysim. The size of a kaimitz is always two kazaysim. Furthermore, vein aktara pchus mekazayis. And no aktara could be less than a kazayis, and we'll explain this in a moment. Yachim sover, yesh kaimitz pots mishnei zaysim, yesh aktara pchus mekazayis. The way I understand the Gemara is as follows. According to Rabbi Yochanan, a kaimitz has to be at least the size of two kazayisim. So when the Mishnah says that the kaimitz can be divided, pamayim, into two. The Mishnah is teaching us as follows. You start with a kaimitz that's the size of two kazaisim. You divide that into two, so you're left with a kazais each. Therefore, then, and only then, will the haktaras kaimitz be a valid haktara. But if it's going to be any less, a haktara of less than a kazais is not a valid haktara. Whereas, the opinion of, that was the opinion of Rishu ben Levi, whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is that there is no requirement that the kaimitz be specifically two kazaisim. So if the kaimitz doesn't start off necessarily with the size of two kazaisim, and then the Mishnah says we could take that amount, which we started off less than two kazaisim, and divide it, so we see that we could even have less than a kazais, because if we're going to divide less than two into halves, each half will have less than a kazais. And yet the Mishnah says that it's a valid haktara. Obviously, it is the opinion of our Mishnah, says Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that there is no din that the haktara has to be the, of a kaimitz has to be the kazayis of a kazayis. So it could be less than a kazayis. You could divide it even further into smaller pieces, and it'll still be valid. Do we shine and point out that this discussion that the haktara of a kaimitz less than a kazayis is valid doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the discussion that we've discussed previously regarding burning Amorim or burning Basar on the Mizbeach? There, it could be that everybody will agree the Shir is a Kazayis. Chazanish has a very interesting question. He says, according to the opinion of Rav Shua ben Levi, that you have to burn at least the Kazayis, what will be the halacha if you burn a Kazayis and the rest of the kaimitz is less than, you burn a piece is less than a kazayis? Is the halacha that every piece of the kaimitz, asked the Chazon Ish, suggests the Chazon Ish, has to be the size of a kazayis? And if any part of the kaimitz is burned when it's not the size of a kazayis, it will not be a valid haktara? Or perhaps, suggests the Chazon Ish, as soon as you burn a piece that's the size of a kazayis, you've done a proper haktara, and therefore, even though the rest of the haktara was done with pieces that are less than the size of kazayis, it still will be a valid haktara. Furthermore, the Paiskim debate, the Mefarshim debate, what will be the halacha if the levina could combine to the shear of a kazayis? On one hand, they say, the fact is you have to have a kaimitz. And the Gemara doesn't say that the levina could be mitzarev. On the other hand, it could well be that the levina does combine. The reason the Gemara doesn't discuss the levina, they suggest, is because the levina, not all karm mincha, we know the karm michas chayta and the karm michas kavutnaz don't have levina, and therefore they are not, that's why they're not mentioned, but the levina maybe can combine. Points out the stipler. We see from here a very interesting thing, that the kohanim had very large hands. The kohanim could put two kazeisim of a kaimitz in the palm of the hand. And he indicates that we don't know many individuals who have such large hands in which two kazeisim could fit. Says that this is another proof, says the stipler, that the size of human beings has diminished over the generations, and people are smaller, and people can't fit in the two kazesim of a climate. Most people can't fit that into their hand. However, the Stipel points out that we need not worry. Mashiach, even if Mashiach comes immediately, certainly we'll be able to find a kohen with large hands that at least will have some kahanim that could do the avoid of the kmitza. Although there is an interesting question that I saw, that now, according to the opinion of Reb Yishum and Levi, that the kohen has to be at least the size of two kazesim, and only such a kohen could do the avoid of kohenim. What would be the halacha? Certainly only such a kohen who has a large enough hand could do the avoid of the kohenim. But what would be the kmitza? Will a kohen who doesn't have large enough hands be able to do other avoidas? Or will he become disqualified? If he can't do this avoida, he can't do any avoida. Says the Gemara, Itmar, kohenim mi'emesai matas shirayim b'chila. At what point can you eat the shirayim? Well, how much must the kohenim be burnt in order to eat the shirayim? So Eben Ozer Rav Issa Zalman points out that certainly as far as the kapara that the person who brings the Karban Mincha is supposed to achieve, as soon as the kohenim is put on the Mizbeach, the person has the kapara. He was speaking, as the Gemara indicates, when may you eat the shrine? Rav Chanina Omer, Rav Chanina says, Mishim Mashlava is Or, as soon as fire catches onto it. Rav Yochanan Omer, Mishim Tatsava is Or Berubai, only when most of it has become ignited. And there's an interesting Yerushalmi, not some say that the Or Sameach says that the Babli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says Vishatatsus Or Berubai means that every particle, most of every particle of the climates must be ignited. Amara from Yehuda or Rav Avraham Yitzchak, Asbucha Tamed Rav Yochanan. I'll give you the basis of Rav Yochanan's reasoning. Amakro V'har V'hina Olo Kitor Kikita Kivshin. En kivshin malakitin, a furnace doesn't give out smoke, agitates our beruba until the fire ignites most of the fuel. Amalei Ravim by Rav Adel LeRavim. Amet Talmidcha Amar Rav Amar. Tanya. Only, the Brisa says, that here oilo amoto al mizbeach kol halaylo al haboike. Only, from this pasuk I only learned Dvarim shadakim l'kara b'layla, kigoyim evarim u'bedorim, shemalim u'matirim b'ray ha-shemesh. The things that the evarim and b'dorim want to bring them on the Mizbeach after sunset. U'mis'aklim v'hochim kol ha-layla kula, and they could continue to burn the entire night. However, dvarim shadakim l'kara b'yoyim, things that are supposed to be brought up by day, kigoyim ha-koymetz v'avoyim nevak toyus, u'michus kaharim, that you could bring them up after sunset, stops the Gemara immediately. Didn't we just say that you have to bring them up by day? How can we say that they could be brought up after sunset? Says the Gemara, they could be brought up right before Shkia, right before sunset. And they could continue being burnt all night. Nine, how do we know that is acceptable? Kamaloimer, Zoys Taurus Oila, Riba. That is acceptable if you put it up right before the Shkia. Now, makes the Gemara's point. Vim Ba Shemesh, if you're going to put this up, if you're going to put up the Karim Mincha right by sunset, Lem Stachslo, Shetatus Aar Beruba. It won't be mostly ignited before the Shkia. Yet we're saying that that's considered properly brought. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not considered properly brought unless it was mostly burnt, most of it before the Shkia, says Mar Lakasha. Kanlikla, the Braisa that says that with Shkia, you could, that it should remain under Mizbeach. Kanla Hatir, regarding eating, you have to have it mostly burnt by day. So in order to remain under Mizbeach, that locha will be, as long as it was put on before the Shkia, it will be good enough. As far as the din of eating, the halacha is that the din will be shetatzus sa'ir or berubai by day in order to be able to eat the shrine. Interesting point that I saw, the Magen Avraham says that here we see that the evarim of the darim were put on the mizbeach at night and burnt all night. And therefore, he says, our tefillas ma'ariv, that we daven ma'ariv every day, is corresponding to that avoda. And since it's corresponding to that avoda, we daven ma'ariv. Says the Magen Avraham, since on Friday night, when it's Shabbos, we're not allowed to put on the Evarim of the Dorim Friday night, that is the basis why people, even though if they're careful to daven ma'ariv only after Tzeis Kechavim all week, Friday night they daven ma'ariv earlier. Because the ma'ariv of Friday night is a different ma'ariv. Because it's not connected to Evarim Bedorim that were put on all night, because on Friday night you weren't allowed to put on the Evarim Bedorim. To the point that I saw a very interesting minig from the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer would not put salt on the challah Friday night. For he said, why are we supposed to put salt on the food? We've discussed this in our Masechta. Because I call Kaboncha Takriv Melech. Since Friday night there was no avoid on the Mizbeach, because Friday night, certainly Kabonis are never brought by night, but even Evarim Bedorim are not brought Friday night, so there's no reason to make the Zecher for salting on Friday night. There's a different way of understanding the Brisa, says the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Masna with Bar Shemesh. Rabbi Elazar taught that the Brisa is saying that it happened after sunset. Aye, how could you put on the Karban Mincha after Shkia? It's referring to things that were put on the Mizbeah by day and they flew off by night. The Kain Kiyosar Avdini, Om Rav Yanai, the Brisa is referring to Paikim. Ask the Gemara, Omi Om Rav Yanai Hochel, is this the way Rav Yanai interpreted the Brisa? The Om Rav Yanai, Torah Shepokim Al Gam Mizbeah. A part of the Torah flew off the Mizbeah, a few Karton Shabbat. Even if there are whole particles, a machzir noy, so we don't have to put them back on. But Tanur Chanina ben Minyonim b'Rei the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Asher Toichel as a Oish, as a Oila al Mizbeach, Kuli Oila to Machzir. Only parts of the carbon oil that fly off the Mizbeach do you have to put back. You have to Machzir Kuli Koyrus. So how can we say that Rabbi Yanni explains that the Brice is talking about Toyrus that flew off the Mizbeach? And says the Gemara, indeed, some of the kind of Toyrus take off Toyrus because according to him, if the Torah flew off the Mizbeach, it doesn't have to be put back on. Amar Ravasi. He pashed Rabbi Elazar ben Menachos. Rabbi Elazar was learning the Sefer Menachos. Boy, Hachi. Kaimitz is Sidru. A Kaimitz that the Kain first put on the Mizbeach. The Sida Les Maracha. Now, normally that means you put on the wood and then you put on the Kaimitz. Here you have the Maracha and the Kaimitz is below it. Mahu. Darcha Tarbakach. Or ain't there for karbakach teiku? The Chazanish, the machlok is how to understand the Gemara. The Brisker Rav explains the Gemara very simply: that you put on the tyrus and then you put on the wood on top of it. The Chazanish says that's certainly not acceptable. What the Gemara means, says the Chazanish, is that they put on the wood, ignited it, and then pushed the tyrus under the burning wood instead of on top of the burning wood. And the Gemara's question is that acceptable? By Chizkia, Evarim Shesidron. If somebody put the Evarim on the Mizbeach, the Sidalim is a Marocha, and he put the Marocha on top of the Evarim, Mahu, Al Eitzim Am Rachmana, Dafka Al Eitzim, that the Evarim have to be on top of the Eitzim, Adima, Kim the Ksiv Kroa Krina, Asher Toichel as Eish as Oil Mizbeach, as long as they get consumed, you buy a hockey of it, Teiku makes no difference. By Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Here we're referring to a situation where the Evarim were put on the side of the Mizbeach. A leave of the Manda Omer, a coin to Manda Omer that says, Al Mamish, that they have to be put strictly on top of the wood, like to buy Loch, then there's no question. Dala Eitzim Ksiv. You have to put it on top of the wood, putting it on the side will not be acceptable. Kiti buy Loch, a leave of the Manda Omer, Al Basama. According to Mandam that says all over, the word Al means near. Hakinami Mai, what will we say here? Hakinami will say that Al, as long as we put the Evarim near the word, the Samach, it's good enough. The Dumma Allah eats Dumi the Allah Mizbeah. Ma Hosam, they certainly have to be put on the Mizbeah. Av Haki Nami Al Mamish, it has to be put strictly on the wood, not along the side of the wood. So sort of Mechas Chinuch asks that it says by the Akedah, the Yos Oisoi Al HaMizbeach Mimala Eitzim. So isn't it clear that it has to be on top of the wood, not along the side of the wood? So why don't we learn from the Akedah? So Michas Chinuch answers that certainly when Avraham Avinu brought Yitzchak for an Akedah, he did it in the most L'chatchiladigam fashion. And he put the Mimal Eitzim on top of the Eitzim. Our Gemara certainly agrees that that is the proper way of putting the Avram. The Gemara's question is, but the Avid. Avraham Avinu did not do the Akedah of Yitzchak in a B'di Evedigah fashion.